Praise the Lord. Look with me in Psalm 78 for a few minutes here tonight. You know, when you get something on your mind, I don't know if you're like me, but I have a hard time shifting gears when it comes to like a train of thought. And I have been for a couple of Sunday nights talking about our usefulness to God, how that the Lord desires to use every one of us. And one of the things that's been on my mind is that our church needs to be a place where people can come and be born into the kingdom of God and then be brought up, trained up in the things of the Lord. That's what happened to me. That's what happened to my mother. My mother got saved in a little Baptist church, little rock building. And I went there when I was a little kid, and I thought it was a big place, but it's the tiniest little place. But she got saved in that little General Baptist church, and then the Lord directed her and led her to a Pentecostal church, and that's where I spent my growing up years. And we learned the Bible, we learned God's word. There was such an emphasis on teaching and preaching. Now, there was the move of the Spirit, and there was demonstration of the Spirit, and all those wonderful things, gifts of the Spirit that took place in the service. But none of that took away from the fact that we were learning how to live for God. We were growing up in the knowledge of the Lord. And I pray, God, give to us an atmosphere here where everyone that comes into this place, that they can, if they're not saved, they can be born again and start a new life in Christ and then start growing up in the knowledge of the Lord, the things of the Lord. Because Psalm 78 here, I'm going to read a few verses here. Psalm 78, verse number 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. When you read that verse, those verses, verse number 5 and 6, there's like 5 generations that are really mentioned there. 5 different generations. And here's the reason why. He says, why do we perpetuate this message from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next? Why do we do that? The answer is there in verse 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Amen. So it's the will of God that we be a church, an atmosphere where from generation to generation, from our oldest member to our youngest little baby, that they are growing and they are learning about the Lord and about the things of God. And it's just passed on, that we take upon ourselves the responsibility of passing these things on to each succeeding generation. Amen. That's a real problem today, because there's a whole generation. We've mentioned before a time or two about a group that they classify as millennials. That's about 18 up to around 30 or the early 30s. That's a generation that seems to be walking away from the church. In America now, they're walking away from the church. Instead of seeing the value of being a part of the family of God, they're walking away. Something like 1 out of 4 that are raised up in the house of God in a quote-unquote Christian family are walking, 1 out of 4 walking away. That's pretty disturbing to me, And it should be disturbing to all of us. We should be concerned that every generation, we've got youth over here tonight. Back in the back, we've got different classes for different age groups of children that are back there, from older kids to younger kids and really, really young kids. They're all back there. And if you remember back a few years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, whenever we started the Wednesday night program, our whole purpose was, well, one of the things that so stirred me up was I heard about some kids that had visited our church and they didn't know basic Bible stories. They didn't know the things that I learned growing up in Sunday school and in church. I learned the major stories of the Bible. I knew them. I'd been taught them. And when I heard about little children that didn't know just the common Bible stories, it bothered me. It really disturbed me. And when I talked to these that were going to be leading these groups, I asked them to give an emphasis to the major Bible stories, starting in Genesis, going through the scripture, and to give an emphasis to the major Bible stories. Let them learn that Bible story, and then the spiritual application of that would come as they got older and older. Then they would see the message of the story, but somehow get that story in their mind, in their heart, in their memory, so they have that foundational truth, and then it could be something that would affect them when they got a little bit older. It would affect them in their walk with the Lord. So I think that we need to be reminded of the biblical importance of passing on the things of the Lord, our spiritual experience and the knowledge of the Lord, passing it on to every succeeding generation that are around us, that we have a responsibility to those that are around us. Let me read you a verse from Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them, thy sons and thy sons' sons. Teach them. Don't forget the things that God has done. Don't forget, but rehearse them in the ears of your children and your grandchildren, all these different age groups. Make sure that they understand not only what the Word of God says, but how God has worked in your life. Your own personal testimony of how that God has worked in your life. Our children, our children's children, every succeeding generation, they need to hear the testimony of how God has moved for you personally, how the Lord has touched your life. Remember whenever Paul was speaking to Timothy, and he was commending him. He said, I see that this unfeigned or this real faith, this genuine faith, I saw it. I see that it was in your grandmother Lois first and then in your mother Eunice. And he said, and I see that it's in you too. I see it's in you. So it was grandmother and mother and now passed down to Timothy. And that made such a difference. Timothy was a young man who was ready to be used of God. He was ready to be thrust out in the ministry. And Paul took him as his spiritual father and led him along. But he had already had important truths, important doctrines, and important faith. It was already planted in the heart of Timothy by his mother and his grandmother. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we should have a conviction that transferring to the next generation is essential in the body of Christ. And that in the church, that this should be a place that's conducive for growth. Amen. When someone is going to, or expecting, a family's expecting a new baby, especially if it's the first baby, they get all excited about it. And they start buying things for that baby that's to come. They start decorating a nursery. They get everything that that baby is going to need, everything imaginable that they could ever need, strollers and swings and baby beds and changing tables and everything that that baby might need. There's all this preparation made so when the baby arrives, that it will have everything it needs so that it can thrive. And that's the way that the church ought to be. The church ought to be a place, the body of Christ here, the family of God. We ought to be the place where people that come in and they find the Lord, they're born again of the Spirit, and then we just take them under our wings and we take care of them and we pray for them and we minister to them in every way that we possibly can, because we've taken on the responsibility of a newborn Christian. Now, the sad thing about this text is that he's identifying the failure of their forefathers. Notice here, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers. And what he's saying here is there has to be a stop here, a major change here, that the cycle that's happening right now, that there's a complete transition, a complete change, because their fathers failed. Their fathers failed. And so he's telling them, don't be like your fathers, but start a new pattern, a new way among the people of God, among the children of Israel. Let this be the way that it goes, instead of like your fathers who failed. And then he begins to identify all the terrible failures of their fathers. They might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Verse 9, the children of Ephraim, who being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Have you ever read that verse and thought, what? The children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows, turn back in the day of battle. Now, Ephraim, really, it's not just the one tribe there of Ephraim, but actually many places in the scripture, all of the 10 tribes, minus the two, Benjamin and Judah, minus those two, the 10 tribes after the division of the kingdom, that 10 tribes was often referred to as Ephraim, because Ephraim was the largest, and so all of those oftentimes were referred to as Ephraim, and that here is in this text, it's that's likely what's being referred to, not just one tribe, but all of those tribes, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows. What does it mean? It means that they had everything they needed to go into battle. They were armed, they were equipped, they were likely trained, and they had everything that they needed to go forward and to face the enemy, but instead they turned back. And so in the midst of this, where he's talking about all the failures of them, he uses this example of Ephraim and said, instead of moving forward in battle, they had everything they need to win the battle, to succeed in this battle, but they turned their back on the battle. And I think that, there's a real important spiritual application for us here. We not turn our back on the responsibility that God has given to us. Because most of us, we have been armed and equipped. Most of us have had privilege of sitting under a lot of wonderful preachers and teachers. We've had the privilege of being trained, and we know a lot about serving God. We have a lot that we can impart to young Christians. There's a lot we can do. We can enter into the struggle with them, because new Christians have struggles and problems, and we can get in the battle with them and help them win this battle. We are armed. We are equipped. Amen. But this group of people, instead of doing what would have been that they were equipped to do, trained to do, instead of facing that challenge, they turned their back on the battle. What a terrible, terrible thing that happened. They turned their back. We have to be reminded of the fact that there are struggles and there are spiritual battles in every Christian life. We all have battles to fight. But young Christians are vulnerable. And I don't know why I'm going through all this. I've been doing this for this is the third service. And you would think that we had a whole church full of new converts. Maybe the Lord's getting ready to send them so that we're prepared for them. But if we are, if they're young Christians, they're very vulnerable. They're going to collapse under the struggle if they don't have a support system like the body of Christ, like the family of God. It's tended to be, like I mentioned Sunday night, little babies don't survive on their own. Young children, they can't make it on their own. They have to have wisdom and instruction. They have to have discipline. They have to have the right kinds of nurturing and loving and caring and providing all their basic needs. Young, and it's a process. It's a few years before they can start taking care of themselves. So is it true of new believers? New Christians have to have a support system. They have to have a family, and that's what we are. We are the family of God. And so we wrap our arms around them, and we get in the struggle with them. And sometimes it can get messy. People, their lives are all messed up and all kinds of problems. And all, it'd be easier just to turn your back on that battle. It would be easier just to say, I'm not interested in getting in the middle of that. But really, that's what they need. They need you to step in there, help them, care about them, pray for them, minister to them, and answer their questions and be a spiritual strength, a spiritual parent, if you will, a father and a mother that can help them. The children of Ephraim, equipped, armed for battle, likely trained and armed for the struggle. They could have helped in the battle, but they didn't. They turned their back. Then he begins to identify all the ways that they forgot God, that they forgot the Lord. And that's this. I'll just back up to verse 7. And I'll close out with this here tonight. This generation that the psalmist is saying to them, don't be like that generation. Don't be like your fathers, but instead start a whole new cycle. Let there be a complete change, a transformation, so that now you don't follow in the pattern of those who have failed, but you do what I'm calling you to do. And you take on the responsibility to sometimes fight and to struggle with those and get involved in the struggle with them. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God. That's what we want to see, amen. We've got little babies around here. We've got little toddlers around here. We've got young children around here. And we want them to grow up in the house of the Lord and in godly families. We want them to grow up and to realize when all the whole world has gone crazy and there doesn't seem to be an answer or nowhere to turn, that they know how to turn to God. They know how to put their hope in God and their trust in the Lord. And they've grown up in an environment where there are people supporting them and helping them when they get in the middle of struggles, so that they learn how that when they get into a world that where there is no hope, that they still have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That they might set their hope in God. You see, hope has to do with their future. Are you concerned about the future of a younger generation? Are you concerned about the future of those that are younger than you and that are coming up in their life, hopefully in their spiritual life? And that they grow up, we should be concerned. We should take it to heart and understand that hope is about their future. And the Bible says that we have a lively hope in Christ, or a living hope, that it's not something outdated or past, but it's alive today if we can teach them to put their trust in the Lord and not despair. Now, I know the tragic shooting down in Florida, it's mind-boggling. It's the most horrible thing that could happen. I can't imagine anything like they have gone through down there. But when I have seen the face of that shooter, and I have read some about his past, I don't know what brought him to that place that he would do such a horrible thing. But I, in my my thoughts are that that young man has just been, he's had no hope. His mother died in December. His father had died when he was a younger boy. He was just thrown around from place to place, house to house, had only been living with the current foster parents 2 months. And I just thought, who knows what that young man has gone through? And I know we all want to hate on him, and we all wanted to say, you know, let's kill him or whatever. But the reality is that young man apparently is a part of a generation that is losing hope. And so they go out and they do horrible, despicable things and take lives do terrible things. This is a despairing generation. They don't know what to do. They're full of fear and murder and hate. They don't know what to do. They're killing themselves. They're in suicide. They're cutting themselves. It's all the images. They're despairing in their life. They don't have any hope. They don't have any hope. And so they go out and they do all these terrible, horrible things. We have a whole generation right now that's growing up without hope. The only hope is Jesus. Amen. The only hope is Jesus. Glory to God. And they need to be, this generation needs that implanted in their heart. They might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. That's why testimonies can be something that children and young people, now on Wednesday night, they're not in here, but other times when there are testimonies that a younger generation can hear, this is what God has done. This is how God has answered my prayer. This is how God has worked in my life. They need to hear that. And we don't need to forget about the wonderful ways that God has worked in our lives. Don't forget the works of God. And then in the text, when you read through the psalm, it details all the wonderful miracles that God gave to them, and they've forgotten it. You know what we forget? We forget what is not commonly used. We remember what we use all the time. All the time. We remember that. But if we don't use it, then we lose it. We forget. Some of you probably can remember a phone number that's 40 years old because you dialed it. Back in my day, it was this kind of dialing. The old rotary phones. And we thought we were uptown when we got the push button phones. We really moved uptown. Matter of fact, I can go back further than that. I remember when my grandmother didn't have a phone, and I was a little guy, and I would say, when I get old enough, Grandma, I'm going to get a job, and I'm going to buy you a phone, because Grandpa won't. I'm going to get you a phone. And then later on, she got a phone, and it was one of those party line phones. Anybody here ever have a party line? Well, they're just ridiculous. But you only get to use it if someone in the party is not on the phone. You pick it up, and if they're still on there, then you got to hang it up. Or you could listen in on what's going on. There was the party line, and then we got the individual personal lines and the rotary dials and then the push-button phone, and now we've advanced. Wow, we've got our own personal phone. But you know what? Let me tell you what happens. We remembered all the numbers then, but now that you don't have to remember them, you don't remember the numbers. Because now you go to your phone and you just push their name. So you don't remember that. I've had people ask me, what's your wife's phone number? I'll have to look that up. Because it just says Marcia in my phone. And I don't know the number. I don't know it. We forget the things that we are not continually using. And when we forget to tell about the goodness of God, we forget about all his mighty works. And so what happened to the children of Israel here and this group that he's talking about? Don't forget about what God has done. And they forgot about the marvelous works that God did. Divided the sea, provided a cloud by day and a fire by night to lead them through the wilderness. He provided water out of a rock. And just read down through the list of all the mighty works that God did that are detailed here in this psalm. But they forgot. He said, don't be like that generation that has forgotten. Remember the day you got saved. Remember your spiritual experiences. Remember and Remember all the wonderful miracles and things that God has done for you, answers to prayer. Remember them and recount them to your brothers and sisters and your family and remind them of the goodness of God. Don't forget that the children of Israel, he said, so that they would set their hope in God and not forget God's works, but keep his commandments. Amen. Do the will of God. Keep the commandments of the Lord. You know that in Deuteronomy, they were encouraged to, you know, put it on a frontlet on their forehead and put it on their, you know, put it on the doorpost and the law of God, make sure it was everywhere so they would never forget. They would remember the commandments of God and they would put them in their heart. Amen. And obey those commandments. So let me sum this up by saying, God help us, and let's pray that the Lord would help us as a church group and a body here, a spiritual family, that whenever God sends someone in and they come to the Lord and they are born again, that we are ready to step to action, to encourage them, to surround them, to pray for them, to help them, to answer their questions, to do whatever we can do to keep them, because they're little spiritual babies that have to have support and help. Amen. Lord, help us to be just what you've called us to be. Amen. Let's stand together.